Donald Trump has not been elected president yet. What voters did on November the 8th was pick the Electoral College, who will vote for president on December 19th. Some are calling for an Electoral College revolt to change the outcome of the election. Gary Bew is a professor of political science at Texas A&M Texarkana and the author of the book, The Challenge of Contemporary Electoral College Reform.
We don't really know why the founders created the Electoral College, because they did it behind closed doors at the Constitutional Convention. But afterwards, the Federalists defended it as a way to help prevent a faction from taking over the federal government.
A faction, what does that mean?
For the founders, they had in mind an interest group that would be adverse to the common good. And they were coming out of a time in which farmers in many states had been taking over the state legislatures and suppressing the rights of creditors and bankers. So they wanted to prevent a factious majority from taking over the federal government.
So they were concerned about a demagogue who could rally with a populist cause and be able to take over basically the executive branch of the federal government.
I think they would agree with that. Yeah, Madison and Hamilton in the Federalist Papers specifically talked about how many of our institutions, especially the Electoral College, would keep a faction from taking over the presidency.
So in theory, the Electoral College is supposed to be like a circuit breaker in the system.
It is. And Hamilton talked about how this is in Federalist 68. Hamilton talked about how the electors would reflect the sense of the people, but they didn't necessarily have to follow the will of the people. The electors would select the best qualified person for the office of the presidency. And he also talked about deliberation, how electors would be expected to deliberate about the merits of the candidates at the Electoral College meetings.
So does that actually happen?
Not too much, but it did happen at a few of the initial Electoral College meetings. Electors did deliberate about the merits of the candidates. And early on in our history, we actually had blocks of electors in some states who did not vote as expected.
Who are these guys? Who becomes an elector?
The Office of Elector is interesting. It's determined by state political parties. In many states, often it's someone who has demonstrated loyal party support. They cannot be, however, a federal or state official. When they are selected as an elector and they're at the Electoral College meeting, we are looking at federal representatives. These are individuals who have gathered for a specific purpose, and they are, in effect, a national or federal representatives.
How often has an elector ignored the popular sentiment of the voters of their state and cast their vote for somebody else?
That's what we call a faithless elector, and that's an elector who votes other than expected. So electors are expected generally to follow their state's popular vote. And so if the Democratic ticket wins the plurality vote in a state, then the Democratic electors go to the Electoral College meeting and they vote accordingly. But occasionally there has been a defector or a faithless elector, and that is someone who votes other than expected. Many of these individuals lately, over the last 50 to 100 years, have just been individuals, and they have cast a protest vote. Usually a faithless vote is accompanied by a message.
Now, I'm not saying this could happen or should happen. Is it possible that there could be a mass defection of an uprising of many faithless electors and vote not for the person of not for Donald Trump when the Electoral College meets?
Well, it is possible, but it is unlikely. It's possible because faithless electors, as national representatives, have the autonomy to vote really for whoever they would like. Political parties do have the right, according to the Supreme Court, to expect their electors to vote who they've pledged for. But when they're actually at the meeting, they could vote other than expected. It has happened a few times in our history where we have had groups of electors vote other than expected, actual blocks of electors. And this happened during a period of our history in which it was very partisan. And for example, in 1808, six electors who were expected to vote for James Madison refused to do so. And there was even a case in 1836 in which 23 electors in Virginia refused to support the vice presidential candidate. And that was so many electoral votes in 1836 that that contest actually was thrown into the Senate, where the Senate had to decide the vice presidential candidate.
Gary Bew is a professor of political science at Texas A&M Texarkana and is the author of the book, The Challenge of Contemporary Electoral College Reform.